Psalm 98, make a joyful noise to the Lord. O sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with a lyre and with the sound of melody. With trumpets and the sound of the horn, make a joyful noise to the Lord, before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. This is the word of the Lord.
So I wanted to share, I just have a short reflection this morning to kind of go with what we've been talking about. Our scripture has been coming from the Psalms, which of course is the Bible's hymn book, right? All of the different music that we hear. And I was reading a little bit about John and Charles Wesley. So the names would be familiar if you're familiar with kind of some of church history. They were the founders of the Methodist Church. They lived in England and then emigrated to the American colonies in the mid-1700s. John was a preacher and Charles was a poet. And I kind of, when I hear them described, I kind of think of John as like the left-brained thinker, the kind of set things in categories and boxes, very organized, and Charles sort of as the right-brained, artistic, free thinker. Charles wrote more than 6,500 hymns, many of which we still sing today, like Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and Christ the Lord is Risen Today, and many others. If you flip to a random page in your hymn book, you're as likely to find Charles Wesley as anyone else in the byline. Dan's going to test my theory. And John liked methods and ways of doing things, and so he wrote the directions for singing to help guide people on how to sing. So he wrote these in 1761. But I found them remarkably helpful even for today. So I forgot to check this. This may cover my whole face, I'm not sure. But Rosie, there's a picture to put up on the screen with P. Oh, it's not on all the way on the screen. Oh, well. Can you know how to fix it? I think she might know how to fix it. Let's see. I'm going to keep... No, so unlock it, and then move it, and then lock it again. And it's fine if it covers me up for now. Okay, so these were his, hey, there we go. These are his seven directions for singing. So I'll read them through and then we'll get rid of the picture and we'll talk about it. But we have learn these songs first, sing songs as printed, everyone sing, sing out, sing simply, sing in time, and sing spiritually. These are his seven directions for singing. So I'm gonna get you to take the picture off for now, Rosie. We'll maybe put it back up at the end. So, learn these songs first. We have a limited amount of space in our heads for all sorts of things. So, his theory was if you're going to learn something, if you're going to learn music, start with songs of the church. Learn them first. And then if there's other songs you want to learn, learn those too. But start with these. Because what we sing often turns into what we believe. Right? And so the way we sing and what we sing matters. And then he said, sing the songs as printed. So the words that were written with a particular intent in mind. And especially with spiritual songs, with songs about God, what the words say matter in some ways more than the tune, although there are some unsingable hymns, even with beautiful words. But so the words we sing matter. So be intentional about what we sing and don't just change things for the sake of changing them. Everyone sing. So I know lots of people who say they can't sing, or no one wants to listen to them sing. But here's the thing. God says, make a joyful noise. He never says everyone has to be in tune. Now, Peggy has a certain expectation for the choir, and so, you know, we do our best. But if you're here in the sanctuary, right, singing is not just for the choir. Singing is for everyone. And so everyone should sing. And not just sing, but sing out, right? So sometimes people will all sing, but I'll sing like this, and no one can hear me now, right? I'm so quiet that nothing can be heard. So he says, sing out. Sing like you're singing in the shower, and no one can hear you. But sing simply. So don't sing so that you overpower everyone else. Don't add a lot of flourishes and a lot of things that distract from the words, but sing. So sing simply and sing in time. So listen to the other singers around you. Don't just do your own thing. Music is this beautiful, ultimately communal act, right? This thing that we do together. And so when we sing, we should try to sing as one and listen to one another. It can be easy to be a bit lazy if we're singing, especially if we're not leading, right? And just kind of do our own thing. So sing in time and sing spiritually, meaning first and foremost, singing is an act of worship. It's a gift to God. And so when we sing to God, right? That is first and foremost who we're singing to, which means that congregation, you are not an audience. You are not being performed at. You are part of the act of worship. You are part of the performance, if that's how the metaphor you want to use. God is the audience. God is the one we are singing for. And what I love about these things, and Rosie, I'm going to get you to put them back up on the screen for a moment, is that they apply very well to music. And what's remarkable is, what, 761, so that was how long ago? Sure. 362 years ago, something like that. I got lots of mathematicians in the back here. My math brain isn't on at the moment. 362 years ago, he wrote down these seven directions for singing, and they still largely apply to what we do. But I think they don't just apply to how we sing. I think they actually apply to how we can do life, how we can follow Jesus. So think about this. When we're learning things, learn things about God first, right? Focus your attention on memorizing scripture, on reading your Bible, on singing the hymns before you do other things. Put God first. Sing songs as printed. Read. You can take it down now, Rosie. When we read scripture, we have to be very careful about putting our own ideas into the text, right? It can be very easy to read something and to interpret it the way we want it to be interpreted rather than the way it was written or the way it was intended. So when we read scripture, when we try to understand what it means for our lives, it doesn't just mean anything. It can mean more than one thing, but it's not a free-for-all. So we have to be careful and intentional about how we read scripture and how we apply it to our lives. And everyone sing. All of us are part of God's community, right? Peter wrote that we are a priesthood of believers. All of us take part in God's kingdom, not just those in leadership. And so all of us are invited to sing God's praises, to be part of God's holy choir in our lives and in our acts and in our work. And sing out. So it can be easy to want to be quiet as Christians, to kind of go about our day, right? But Jesus says that the light wasn't made to be put under a bushel. It was made to be put on a hilltop, to shine out for all to see. And so we are called to be bold in who we are, to be loud about why the way we live is different and how it matters. To sing simply. We don't have to have a lot of fancy words to be able to talk about our faith. It can be as simple as telling our story. Why does coming to church matter? Why does it make a difference to you? Why are we here on Sunday morning instead of at yoga or at brunch or at a hockey practice, or any of the other things that you could do on a Sunday morning in the world today. Keep it simple. Sing in time. It's really easy for us to go off and do our own thing, right? And sometimes to be at odds with the people who we worship with, the people who we spend time with. And yet we're called to try to look for harmony, to try and be in time, to admit when we are wrong, to approach worries and concerns and stress and conflict gently and with patience. So that in the end of the day, when that conflict is over, because there's always conflict, right? We can't avoid it, that we come out of it closer knit as a community and not further away. Sing in time. And sing spiritually. Let everything we do praise the Lord. Right? First, last, and everything in between. Our actions, first and foremost, should be an effort to express our gratitude to God, to say thank you for all he has done, to try and walk in step with Jesus. When we act, we are acting in ways we hope that make us good ambassadors for Jesus, because that is what we are called to be. Do everything for God first. Let's put those up on the screen one more time, Rosie. Directions for singing, directions for life. These are ways that we can live, I hope, more faithfully or consistently faithfully to our God and to our Savior. Let us pray. Gracious God, you are a God of music. You're a God of harmony. And I thank you for people like John and Charles Wesley, who have given us, through the centuries, music that we can sing and advice for how we can live well. God, I pray that we would be able to do these things this week in our music, but also in our lives. To put you first, to sing out loud, to be able to tell our stories and to work together in ways that bring you honor. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.